Chapter 107. And stimulated the besiegers, that in an incredibly short space of time they forced the strong grate down below, which was formed of iron rods 2 inches square, drove in the two other doors, as if they had been but deal partitions, and stood at the end of the gallery with only a bar, or two between them and the cells. Halloa! Apostrophe apostrophe cried Hugh, who was the first, to look into the dusky passage. Dennis before us. Well done, old boy. Be quick, and open here, for we shall be suffocated in the smoke, going out. Apostrophe, go out at once, then, apostrophe said Dennis. What do you want here? Apostrophe, want. Apostrophe apostrophe echoed Hugh. The four men. Apostrophe, four devils. Apostrophe apostrophe cried the hangman. Don't you know they're left for death on Thursday? Don't you respect the law, the Constitution, nothing? Let the four men be. Apostrophe, is this a time for joking? Apostrophe apostrophe cried Hugh. Do you hear 'em? Pull away these bars that have got fixed between the door and the ground, and let us in. Apostrophe, brother, apostrophe said the hangman, in a low voice, as he stooped under pretense of doing what Hugh desired, but only looked up in his face. Can't you leave these here four men to me, if I've the whim? You do what you like, and have what you like of everything for your share. Give me my share. I want these four men left alone, I tell you. Apostrophe apostrophe, pull the bars down, or stand out of the way, apostrophe was Hugh's reply. You can turn the crowd if you like, you know that well enough, brother, apostrophe said the hangman, slowly. What? You will come in, will you? Apostrophe apostrophe, yes. Apostrophe, you won't let these men alone, and leave 'em to me? You've no respect for nothing, haven't you? Apostrophe apostrophe said the hangman, retreating to the door by which he had entered, and regarding his companion with a scowl. You will come in, will you, brother? Apostrophe, I tell you, yes. What the devil ails you? Where are you going? Apostrophe, no matter where I'm going, apostrophe rejoined the hangman, looking in again at the iron wicket, which he had nearly shut upon himself, and held ajar. Remember where you're coming. That's all. Apostrophe, with that, he shook his likeness at Hugh, and giving him a grin, compared with which his usual smile was amiable, disappeared, and shut the door. Hugh paused no longer, but goaded alike by the cries of the convicts, and by the impatience of the crowd, warned the man immediately behind him the way was only wide enough for one abreast to stand back, and wielded a sledgehammer with such strength, that after a few blows the iron bent and broke, and gave them free admittance. That the two sons of one of these men, of whom mention has been made, were furious in their zeal before, they had now the wrath and vigor of lions. Calling to the man within each cell, to keep as far back as he could, lest the axes crashing through the door should wound him, a party went to work upon each one, to beat it in by sheer strength, and force the bolts and staples from their hold. But although these two lads had the weakest party, and the worst armed, and did not begin until after the others, having stopped to whisper to him through the grate, that door was the first open, and that man was the first out. As they dragged him into the gallery, to knock off his irons, he fell down among them, a mere heap of chains, and was carried out in that state on men's shoulders, with no sign of life. The release of these four wretched creatures, and conveying them, astounded and bewildered, into the streets so full of life a spectacle they had never thought to see again, until they emerged from solitude and silence upon that last journey, when the air should be heavy with the pent-up breath of thousands, and the streets and houses should be built and roofed with human faces, not with bricks and tiles and stones was the crowning horror of the scene. Their pale and haggard looks and hollow eyes, their staggering feet, and hands stretched out, as if to save themselves from falling, their wandering and uncertain air, the way they heaved and gasped for breath, as though in water, when they were first plunged into the crowd, all marked them for the men. No need to say this one was doomed to die, apostrophe for there were the words broadly stamped and branded on his face. The crowd fell off, as if they had been laid out for burial, and had risen in their shrouds, and many were seen to shudder, as though they had been actually dead men, when they chanced to touch, or brush against their garments. At the bidding of the mob, the houses were all illuminated, that night lighted up from top to bottom, as at a time of public gaiety and joy. Many years afterwards, old people who lived in their youth near this part of the city, remembered being in a great glare of light, within doors and without, and as they looked, timid and frightened children, from the windows, seeing a face go by. Though the whole great crowd and all its other terrors had faded from their recollection, this one object remained, alone, distinct, and well remembered. Even in the unpracticed minds of infants, one of these doomed men darting past, and but an instant seen, was an image of force enough to dim the whole concourse, to find itself an all-absorbing place, and hold it ever after. When this last task had been achieved, the shouts and cries grew fainter, the clank of fetters, which had resounded on all sides as the prisoners escaped, was heard no more. All the noises of the crowd subsided into a hoarse and sullen murmur as it passed into the distance, and when the human tide had rolled away, a melancholy heap of smoking ruins marked the spot where it had lately chafed and roared. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.